Reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 4 to 15 and 25 to 34. And you can find that on page 1076 of the Pew Bibles. 1076. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "But you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have given him and he would have given you, sorry, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "All who drink this water will never be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." This is the word of the Lord.
Today we are continuing our series focusing on the Sabbath. Our theme this morning is staying hungry by feasting. And we're going to be looking at the Sabbath principle of celebrating and feeding, the principle which Jesus showed us so well in this discussion with the Samaritan woman. But before we study this, let's just come to pray. Let's pray together. Come this morning by your Holy Spirit and fill our tired hearts. Open our eyes to see the glory of our risen Saviour. Open our ears to welcome and receive your message to us. Open my heart to your truth and to your unique purpose for me. In the name of Jesus, my Saviour, I come. Amen. Well, Easter morning changed everything. The resurrection of Jesus is the pivot in all of history. The empty tomb, the announcement he is risen, heralded the coming of salvation. Already the calendar had begun to change from BC to AD. Already the temple curtain had been torn in two, the temple curtain which separated man from God. Already the pages of the Old Testament had closed with John the Baptist. And in that Easter morning light dawned the age of salvation. In came the reign of grace. Down came the power of the Holy Spirit. Up rose the church of Christ. The church that would spread from town to town, from nation to nation, celebrating, rejoicing, looking forward to the return of Jesus, her Saviour. The message of salvation would go from house to house, from village to village, telling of God's saving power and God's love for lost mankind. Jews would come into that kingdom. Romans would come into that kingdom. Greeks, Turks, Europeans, Africans, men and women from every tribe and tongue and nation would be gathered in. And the people of God were no longer the children of Israel. They are now the worldwide church of God. Worship is no longer the preserve of temple priests. Every Christian is a holy priesthood with personal access to God through Christ. No longer are animal sacrifices made for the remission of sin. Christ, the complete sacrifice, once and for all time. And out went the Old Testament law, abolished, nailed to the cross, as Paul says in Colossians 2, and in comes the age of grace. But with these sweeping changes, Jesus and Paul plead with us not to be bound up by rules and regulations, but instead to be guided by their principles. The law said, don't murder. Jesus said, don't even be angry. The law said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even be lustful. The law said, don't covet. Jesus said, love your neighbour. And with these principles, the Sabbath principle takes on a new dimension. Part of the reason for the Sabbath was to celebrate deliverance. As Moses spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 5 and 15, he recites the law and he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Sabbath hadn't been celebrated before the exile, but now they would stop and rest and reflect on God's deliverance. And once a year at the Passover, they would celebrate this great deliverance in a great festival. So the Sabbath spoke of deliverance, and it foreshadowed the greater deliverance that we would receive through Jesus. With the resurrection of Jesus, the first day of the week, on the first day of the week, the Church of God adopted the Sabbath principle. The Sabbath principle of celebrating the resurrection. The Sabbath principle of celebrating deliverance through salvation. And in a sense, we have a sort of super Sabbath as we come to celebrate Easter in the way that Israel celebrated the Passover. So for us, the first day of the week enshrines many of these Sabbath principles of celebration. A celebration of the resurrection of our Saviour. A celebration in meeting together. A celebration, singing God's praise, hearing his word, being filled anew by his Holy Spirit. And celebrating and feasting are good things. Over this coming Easter, Belinda and I are taking the whole family to a farmhouse in Devon to celebrate some milestone birthdays this year. So 11 of us in total will be going. The children won't be going to school. Parents won't be going to work. And grandparents will no longer be doing the things that grandparents normally do. It's a time of celebration, of relaxation, a time to strengthen our relationships, a time for dunking grandpa in the swimming pool. And it will be a time for feasting. We've just organised some outside caterers to come one day and prepare a feast for us. And if all goes to plan, we'll be fed and energised. And holidays recharge our batteries. They give us energy for what comes next. And so does the Sabbath. The Sabbath principles of meeting together, celebrating Christ's resurrection, feeding on him in your hearts, these are woven through the whole of the New Testament and through the whole of church history. And we see this Sabbath principle nowhere better than in Jesus' discussion with the Samaritan woman. In John 4, Jesus sits down at the well. He's talking to a Samaritan woman. He's tired. He's thirsty. He's hungry. But the first thing he does is he goes about God's work. He starts testifying to God's saving power. The woman is touched by this. She goes off and gets her friends and family. She's been fed. And she has drunk the living water that Jesus was offering. She's found salvation. But Jesus too had been fed. Because we read this. His disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus, who was tired, thirsty, and hungry, didn't rest, didn't drink, didn't eat, and yet he was refreshed. Yet he was energized, yet he was ready to go. He was energized because he was in the middle of what God was doing. He was energized because Samaria was being touched by God, and he was there right in the middle of it, witnessing this woman's changed life. He was energized because this was the place where God was at work. It was a time of reaping, a time where fruit was being harvested. And it filled Jesus with joy and excitement. There was something for Jesus that was inspiring, something that was uplifting, something that was reaffirming for him as the Spirit of God took this testimony, his testimony, and changed the Samaritan woman's life, and changed the life of her family and her friends. It was living proof of the power of God at work. It was a miracle. The woman was saved. Jesus was fed. And through her testimony, revival broke out in that town. So our Sabbath celebration should do something similar for us. It should feed us so that we're hungry for more. It feeds us when we meet in the big celebration of Easter. It feeds us when we meet on the first day of the week together. It feeds us in those private times of prayer with God, perhaps even going into town on the bus on a Monday morning. God wants those Sabbaths to be meeting points, places where we meet, and places where right at the center of that meeting is a celebration of the salvation of Christ. Every Sabbath should take us to the cross of Jesus. Every Sabbath should take us to the empty tomb. Every Sabbath should open for us a window on eternity in the presence of God. Isaiah in chapter 40 calls this Sabbath experience waiting on the Lord. The Lord, he says, gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Your Sabbath celebration should be a time when you start to soar, to renew your strength by waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is a bit of an old-fashioned Old Testament phrase, but in Hebrews 12, the writer calls it fixing our eyes on Jesus. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, so by his Spirit, we begin to soar. Now, God gives us every week as a unique gift. Every new week is a unique gift to you from God. And his desire on the first day of the week and day by day is to prepare you, to teach you, to strengthen you, to energize you for what's ahead. His purpose is to equip your life to be lived in all its fullness in the place where he's going to put you. Do you know what this coming week will hold? Well, I guess there are some things in your diary which you know, but there are other things you don't know. But this week, each of us will be where God places us, will be on our front lines. And he is talking to us and calling us and feeding us this morning so that we might be prepared for the place he is sending us. That's why we encourage one another after our meetings together on Sunday mornings to come and pray so that we can bring the things that weigh us down, the things that burden us, and we can leave them at the feet of Jesus, that we can allow him to feed us and fill us and strengthen us. You're part of the body of Christ, and where you go this week, he goes. You're his representative. You're the one he's sending to minister his love and his compassion. And at this Sabbath celebration, God is feeding you so that as you go, you can feed others with his love. This morning, he's comforting you so that you may go and comfort others in his love. This morning, he wants to lift your burdens so that you can go and lift the burdens of others in his name. He's showing you his love, and he's showing you his grace this morning so that you can share that love and that grace with others. If this morning we go from our Sabbath celebration hungry and weary, then we've not been fed. And if we've not been fed, we cannot take food to others. So in a moment of quiet, I want us to bow our heads and to ask God to feed us. Let's bow together. Let's come quietly before God and ask to be filled by him. We may be weary and burdened. Let's just acknowledge that to God. Let's acknowledge what weighs our hearts down, and let's hand it over to Jesus. Let's put it at the foot of his cross. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let Jesus draw alongside you this morning. Let him sit right with you where you are. Let him put his arm around you. Feed on him. Gain strength from him. He comes to you gently this morning, as a mother comforts her child. Let him lift you up. Let him fill you with his spirit. He knows you. He knows all your needs. He can touch you and heal your wounds. And as you lift your eyes and fix your eyes on him, he fills you, and you begin to soar on wings like eagles. Let your heart begin to rejoice. Know that the joy of the Lord is becoming your strength. Let God's Spirit fill you up. before the music group lead us in our next song, I'm going to ask us all to stand, and then we're going to pray. So let's please stand. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here this morning to receive you, to receive that living water that nourishes and feeds us. Father, some of us feel just dry and tired. Holy Spirit, fill us. Some of us have wandered away from you. Holy Spirit, bring us home. Some of us have never known you and known anything of your love. Holy Spirit, this morning we turn to Jesus as our Saviour. Make us part of his family. Father, I pray that no one in this building this morning will go home empty. No one will leave this place without the filling of your Holy Spirit. No one will enter this new week without celebrating the wonderful love of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.